Isaiah chapter 59. Open to verse 20. He said, the Redeemer will come to Jerusalem to buy back those in Israel who have turned from their sins, says the Lord. And this is my covenant with them, says the Lord. My spirit will not leave them, and neither with these words I have given you. They will be on your lips and on the lips of your children and your children's children forever. I, the Lord, have spoken. That is what he said here. This is the purpose of God. My spirit will not leave you, and neither with these words I have given you. That is by the prophet. I said to them, I said to Isaiah, my spirit will not leave them, neither with these words I have given you, which you will give to them. He said, they will be on your lips and on the lips of your children and your children's children. Please, I want you to note the plan of God is that his words will be on your lips and what? The lips of who? Your children's children. Please bear it in mind. Quickly open to the book of Genesis. There's another, something similar to this I want us to read. All right, is Genesis chapter 18. I'm going to read from the 16th verse. You know the story. Those three men, that is two angels and the Lord, that came to see Abraham. Then the men got up, verse 16, from their meal and looked out towards Sodom. As they left, Abraham went with them to send them on their way. Did I mention I was reading New Living Translation? I didn't. Okay, that was New Living Translation I read. So it was deliberate. I needed that expression, children's children. All right? Now I'm still reading the Living Translation now. Should I hide my plan from Abraham? The Lord asked. For Abraham will certainly become a great and mighty nation, and all the nations of the earth will be blessed through him. The Lord now said, I have singled him out so that he will direct his sons and their families to keep the way of the Lord by doing what is right and just. Then I will do for Abraham all that I have promised. Now, please, I want you to notice this. Verse 19. Why did God single Abraham out? Now, please, I want you to notice that very carefully. Now, I chose these two portions from New Living Translation because it's very well explained. You know, one of the things I have noticed, and it saddens me about a lot of us Christians, is that the faith of our children is not that important to us. A lot of us. We will say it is, but you see, according to Mike Murdock, the proof of desire is pursuit. He said the proof that you want something is how you are going after it. The proof of desire, he said, is pursuit. God said, this was why I picked out Abraham. It is important to me that I have somebody who will walk with me. Not only will he walk with me, he will train his household, his sons and their families. He will teach them to keep the will of the Lord. God said, it is important to me that the blessing I want to bring upon the earth has to go down several generations. Please, spiritual things as the way they are. You know, material things, genetics now I'm talking about. There are some things that are amplified in generations. Spiritual things are also amplified in generations. And God wants us to cooperate with him so he can amplify certain traits, certain characteristics, certain attributes from one generation to another. Please, Christians, listen to me carefully. You are a continuation of something that he wants to do through your household after you. So you are a beginning or continue. That is, it may have started before you, but God expects it to pass down. So you have an assignment. You have the duty to be deliberate in bringing your household after you. Now, notice what he said about Abraham. Not while they are in his house alone. That is, they are to learn things that they will take to their own households. Please, I hope you're getting my point. Look at the way he said it here. direct his sons and their families. So by the time his own children will leave the house, there are things that God expects them, expects Abraham to have, whichever way he could, ensure that to go on in his own, in the children's families. Now, of course, the weapons of our warfare, they are not what? They are not carnal. They are not of the flesh. They are mighty through God. That is, whatever we want to do here, it cannot be by human energy. It has to be by spiritual energy. And chief of that energy is activated, or the method, the chief method for activating that energy, or a chief method. That's the reason why I switched from D to A. A chief method, a serious method, a major method. Yeah, I finally got the correct English word. A major one of the methods for activating that energy is prayer. Let me quickly talk about the one I think is most important. Okay? Now, again, this is our school of prayer, so we are going to spend our energy on the praying side. We began it 2 meetings ago. Last time I wanted to continue, but you know, this tongue does not belong to me. It belongs to someone else. Are you getting my point? So I only say what the Holy Spirit wants me to say for the day. So last time went that way. Okay? Now, the most important one I have found out, both from scriptures and from testimonies, is the life that you live. Now, we are going to discuss the second one, which is one of the major ones, which is prayer, the way you pray for these children. But I think the most important one is how you live your life. Parents, please listen to this carefully. Because you see, once I read, so I think a preacher or magazine, they were talking about it. They did a survey on children who did not follow the faith of their parents. And they asked them why. You know, 70%, if I remember well, the problem they had was that they said is it pastors or so? Are that Christians or pastors? But one of the two, I can't remember for sure now. So 70% thereabout. Their major reason was that they couldn't reconcile what their father said outside with how he lived inside. Yeah, I think it was pastors. Pastors, yes, specifically pastors. Yeah. So they go to church, they listen to the man. We live in the same house. It's not exactly that is what this man is preaching. He does not believe it. So they grew up not trusting the messages on faith because they did not believe it was affecting the household. It was not controlling what the pastor did. So without them, you know, like they just saw it as a show, it's a hustle, it's something, it's a professional. Are you getting my point? So he's a pastor, me, I'm going to be a lawyer. Do you follow my point? So being a Christian is not critical for being a successful lawyer. So why do I have to learn the trade? That was a mindset. All right? 70%, they said, 70% who forsook the faith of their fathers who were pastors. They said their number one reason was that they couldn't reconcile what the man preached or said in church with how he lived on a daily basis in their homes. So that's a very critical one. However, that's not what we're talking about. Okay? Remember, everything about our lives as believers, we must bear these things in mind to ensure that at least you can say, I did what I was supposed to do. Is that okay? For example, you know, I've given this example before. If you don't want, okay, no, we all know this example. If you tell your children, don't tell lies. Stop telling them to go and tell somebody at the gate, they are not at home. You can preach all you want. You have said, don't tell lies, but you've told them, please lie when necessary. I gave the example before that my children, when they were small, my wife and I sat down and said, no, stop giving them small change to give as offering in church because you think they are small. That's what a lot of us think. Let them not lose the money. I said, no, don't do that. Give them big money when it's time to give an offering. Even if I have to supervise it, even if it's your own offering. Just by the way, it's your own offering. Put it, let them see. Then let them help you drop it in the basket. They don't need their own. They don't need their own. They are not earning anything. Some people say, I know, the children too must give. From where now? If they give, it's my money they give. So let's not deceive ourselves. Let's not fool ourselves. So I would rather, a parent who doesn't know this, it is better. The money you wanted to give, please give it to that child to give it. So that you will understand how the things of God are done. Do you get my point? Rather than you buy the child a pair of shoes for 15,000 naira, then give him 200 naira to put in an offering basket. Do you get my point? He's going to think that shoes are more important than offerings. You can't buy him a snack. You go to one fat meat pie, which the guy will gazole at a go. You know what to gazole something? Okay, let's use the proper English. To demolish. At a go. By the time you finish buying the snacks, that this little man will finish at a go. You have blown 3,000 naira. The offering time, you give him 100 naira. Do you know what he's going to grow up with? So it's better, you wanted to give 5,000 in church, give it to him. When the offering is in children's church, get up, go and meet him. Oh yeah? Offering time, yeah, drop it inside. Bam. So he calculates that meat pie is 2,000, offering is 5,000, or offering is 10. You get the logic. So what you are doing there, you are training with a lifestyle. That's the point I'm trying to make. But the one I want to focus on today is the one of prayer, which you began some time ago. Let's continue it. Now remember, what are we doing? Who can remind me? We are writing scripts. Thank you. We are writing scripts. We are writing scripts. God gives you the authority to write the one for your children's life. One day a friend of mine asked me that, is it fair? You know? Lester Somra, are you getting me? Before he was born, his mother had dedicated him to the Lord. And if you know scriptures, the father did not oppose, so the dedication stood. The boy grew up that he wanted to serve himself, went to serve money. Between money and himself, that's all he was going to serve. So by the time he turned 17, he left home to go and look for money. And then one day, he fell very sick. Shortly after, within a year or so, he was back home, severely sick, and he was going to die. Those days was tuberculosis. Funny enough, I was watching his video just, was it yesterday or 2 days ago? In the last few days. So one of those days, it was, of course, he was near death. Then he had a vision. We think it was a vision. Yeah, it was a vision. Because right in front of him, he saw a Bible on one side. On the other side, he saw a casket. And you know, there are visions you don't need Joseph to interpret. You know, there's no need. There are things you want to pray about. God said you don't want the answer. You see, that you are praying about this, you don't want the truth. You don't want the truth. There's a joke I saw once. A lady was praying. She had a picture of some men in front of her. Lord, which one should I marry? An angel was there. She couldn't see the angel. So the angel took one picture and threw it away. There was another one. There was the last one in her hand. So she bent down and picked it. And she continued to pray. Well, the other one that fell down, she referred to him as Odogu. The guy had a lot of money and all of that. This other guy was one nice church responsible man. She continued to pray. The angel came, removed the picture, squeezed it and threw it away. She opened her eyes, saw the picture had gone away. It was squeezed on the ground. She picked it and smoothened it. The angel was standing there looking at this girl like this. She called to her, Father God, which one of them is your will? Which one is your will? The angel went to Dugu's picture again. Took it, this time around, he tore it and threw it away. Her eyes were closed. Then she opened her eyes and saw the picture on the ground, torn. So she went and got a sellotape. Of course, it was a skit, all right? A comedy skit. At that point in time, the angel got angry. Drew his gun and fired a shot into the air. He said, what nonsense? He said, when I finish shooting you, you know the will of God. Essentially, of course, she didn't want to know. That's just a small joke I saw some time ago. So, Lester Sumner did not need an interpreter. He knew what it meant. A 5-year-old boy can interpret it for you. You either pick the Bible and go and become a preacher. That casket, he said he could see was his size. Yeah, he said that, you know, he saw the casket. You know, there's a way, he just knew that this is exactly his size. That this will just fit me perfectly. Custom made, bespoke, is it tailoring now or casketing? Of course, he decided to choose the Bible and he became a preacher. Like I said, after I've read his books, I've listened to a lot of his messages. I was listening to him just a few days ago, all right? And he affected his generation, shook the nation, Philippines, seriously, all right, for the gospel, okay? Traveled the world all over, All right, with people like Howard Carter, and then Donald G, they influenced him. And then the story I heard him teach recently was that of Smith Wigglesworth. All right? His encounter with Smith Wigglesworth, how he spent 2 years visiting the man. Now, where I'm going is that a friend of mine asked me once, is it fair that before you were born, your mother had given you to Amadioha or to the Lord Jesus Christ? I'm just joking about the Amadioha part. That your parents had given you over to God. Let's just stick with that one. That, is it fair? So that you didn't have a choice in the matter. Now, let me give you an answer. The simple answer is that I don't know whether it's fair or not, but that's the way it is. You're waiting for a very spiritual answer. That's the most spiritual I'll give you. That's just the way it is. As is our believers, and it's God they gave us to, why complain? Okay, where else do you want to go? Do you follow what I'm saying? Where else will you want to go in this life? See, Samuel's matter is the way it is. Last time, we know we prayed with that. If you were here then, we prayed with it that this one has been dedicated to the Lord. It's not something that you have to, you know, worry your head over. This one has been dedicated. This one has been dedicated to the Lord. Okay? Now, we saw the life of Samuel. And now let me explain. It's not just Samuel alone, or it's not just your parents. God himself, because the parents have following, whether they realize it or they don't, that is deliberately, is a plan of God that they are following. We know that Samuel was the reason, the need for a Samuel was why God gave Hannah that experience. Do you get my point? So like Jesus said to Paul, you can't be kicking against the goads or the pricks. You cannot be kicking against the thorns. Don't bother. The way life is, you didn't create this life. All right? God now said to Isaiah, to Jeremiah, before you were formed, I knew you. I consecrated you to be a prophet. There's no need to fight this thing. If you don't want to, now listen to this. If you don't want to follow the path of God, now it's interesting. God allows you to disobey his path. You can decide to go your own. But like I said, on that way, you will take care of yourself. When you run into lions, don't ask him to save you. He doesn't take payment. That's something a lot of us don't realize. The Lord cannot be paid. What I mean is this. Let me explain. It's not up for hire. You get what I'm saying? It's not up for hire. He takes care of his own. He has a responsibility to take care of you. So he does. Listen, let me explain. See, the other gods, all the jujus, you can hire them, like Balaam. You go and pay Balaam, he will come and curse these people for you, if he's allowed to do it. But the Lord Jesus Christ doesn't do that. You don't hire him. You know, I preach all the time about diviners. You know, God is not there waiting for people to come and use him for divination. He takes control, he takes charge entirely. So if he sends you on an errand, or if you're following his path, his will for your life, he has the duty, the responsibility. It's not a favor now he's doing for you. He has the duty and the responsibility to take care of you. And what I'm saying is making sense to you. He has that duty and that responsibility. So if you choose not to follow his path, what you have said is that I will make my own food. I will do my own. Is this security? Yes. When I travel, I will drive safely. I will avoid all the potholes and I will not have any accident. And if I were to have an accident, I'll make sure my airbags are working. And if the airbags fail, I'll make sure my seatbelt is intact. And if his seatbelt, I forgot to wear it or fails, I will just try not to die too quickly. You know, you get where I'm going with the confusion. That's what God is saying. So if you want to follow your path, so please, let's not look at it as if, is it fair? It's not fair if you are thinking of the fact that, he wants to do something and not be responsible. But it's fair if you are willing to go your own way and not go his own way, and you can take care of yourself. But it's already unfair on him if you want to go your way and expect his blessings. That's not fair. Do you follow my point? That is just so not fair. I mean, come on, yourself, if it were you, would you like that? Follow his will, you say no, but then he must take care of you. He must keep your heart beating, your breath regular, heal all your diseases, take care of you when you travel, provide food for you, And when you're in trouble, you say, save me, and he'll show up. Ah, why? Let's get it clear. He doesn't behave like that. A lot of preaching makes it look like he does. He does not. Are you getting my point? He said it clearly. If you don't listen to me, when you call, I will not answer. You know it's in your Bible? Some people don't think it is. It's there. It was prophesied by Solomon in the early part of Proverbs. He said, look, when I call, you do not answer. A time will come, you will call. I also will not answer. And you'll be in pain. You'll be in trouble. You will need help. And I walk past like you're not there. Why? He said, because when I called, you refused to answer. So back to the whether it's fair, it's not fair. First answer I gave is, that's just the way life is. But actually, it's fair. If you can run through this life by yourself, then reject his will. But I'm sure you don't want to do that. You have seen enough trouble around to realize that that's very, very, very unsafe. Now, having established that that is the way life is, we have established that that is the way life is, whether it's fair or unfair, is not a point now. The issue is that God writes, he allows your parents, not your parents now, you, the Christian parent, to determine the godly direction, and he expects you to do that for your children. You will pray for them while they have no understanding of their own. You will ensure you follow the instructions of the Lord in training them in righteousness. How do you train children? Number one thing is instruction. You constantly instruct. Sometimes people say, I saw this debate. This man passed a few days ago. Is it weeks now? I think it's already a few weeks, about 2 weeks or so. James Dobson. I read his book long ago. And he explained that when Dr. Spock was an American child, that's pediatrician or child psychologist, like Dobson was also into psychology, explained that if you flog a child, they like to be antisocial. Dobson said, no, research has shown that it's when you started late. Okay? But if you started early enough, he will interpret it as discipline. If you started late, interpret it as anger and hatred. And you train him in violence, getting his way through physical force. So, but when you start early, the person, and of course, this is from my own experience and observing things, you don't just flog, if you are physically disciplining a child, without giving an instruction. You talk, and what you flog is disobedience. What you discipline is what? Disobedience. Not error, not mistakes. A child is carrying a plate, it's very precious to you, so it falls and it breaks. See, the discipline is the same, whether it's plastic, that's cheap glass, or expensive. But it's a slip. Do you get my point? So, why did you carry that thing if it was cheap? But now it's now your, the one they used to pay your bride price. So the thing is paining you. You are not allowed to take that pain and transfer it. But if you have said, don't touch that plate. And I might keep a plate here. Don't go there. Don't touch it. Then the guy, children are like that. They now wonder, okay, if I touch it, what exactly will happen? So they are doing their research. It's called eating of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. They want to see, okay, if I touch it, that is when it's called the just recompense of reward. Because it is what? An act of disobedience. It's an act of disobedience. So you do that. You keep instructing. That's the first thing. Instruction is number one. You keep instructing with the word of God. Now, very important, God can discipline you personally for it if you instruct your children with useless culture. If you're a Christian, you say, no. When it's night, you want to cross a threshold, you will do like this first. You will do, there are some fetish behaviors that people have turned into culture. See, if you instruct a child with that, God will come at night and what's God do? He wake you up, let's just put it like that. And we're going to talk. See, again, small aside. Don't train children to fear. Don't pass your worries over to them. Please, parents, if you are listening to this, don't. Train them with faith. If there's a problem, say, we will pray about this. Do you get my point? When you want to worry. The other day I said to you, if you want to talk nonsense, you want to complain and curse and all of that, there's a simple place. Where does it should go? Go to the toilet. Thank you. Open the bowl. talk all the nonsense when he's been talking the nonsense, cover the blow and flush it. Then what do we hear? Flush it down the toilet. Don't let the children hear all the whining and complaining about this country. Don't even know the direction the country is going. Build faith in them. Tell them, like I tell my kids, they know, till now. If I say I have a good day, nobody says thank you to me in the house. They know it's not a wish. It's what? A prayer. It's a prophetic word. Have a good day, they will say, amen. You enter a vehicle, don't worry, you'll be safe. You know, you add it. Hey, the road you are going on is very dangerous. So that is the place where they kidnapped 6 students the other day. When I go back to school tomorrow, is that not where one student died in an accident yesterday? And that's what you are telling somebody who wants to go on a road. Honestly, the Lord should flog you for you. It's important that you are corrected. Don't pass fear over. See, I told you, if you have your fears, only 2 things you can do, right? You either pray about it or go to the toilet. Remember the toilet thing? Open the toilet bowl and say, that road is dangerous, so they kidnap you. When you're done with saying it, cover it and do what? Flush it. Don't let your kids hear. To the glory of God, my children are here. They never fear of darkness. No, never. Ojuju will catch you. Never came from the mouth, from my mouth or my wife's mouth. There's a story she used to tell my where's junior pastor? What's not just here? Where's Justin? Okay. When she was a baby, all right, at night, she would tell him stories. Stories that have no meaning. All right? Just to the boy who follows, you know the way it is. Tell a story about Tulutulu and Kaji Kaji. Things that have no meaning. And then they were now fighting over the corn. And he'll be laughing. In one day, I don't know where she heard the teaching. I said, why are you telling stories of Tulutulu and Kaji Kaji? Is it not Kaji Kaji? He said, there are a lot of Bible stories. So now turn the stories to David and Goliath. Yes. The stories were about David and Goliath. Bible stories. How God rescued people. They are just as interesting. One day I was driving them to school. It was Olimbe Binga then. I got to their school. I noticed, so everybody came down. So I didn't see Binga come down. Then I turned. He was still sitting behind. You know why? I was playing the book of Revelation on Bible experience. I didn't know the boy had entered into Revelation. Do you understand? He had entered into the whole thing. And the beast that arose, and out of the abyss, and then he came. And then the eagle that flew past, and said, whoa, whoa, to the inhabitants of the earth. For the boy sat down there. I didn't know he had entered. So by the time we got to the school, when everybody was coming down, he wasn't with us. He was in Revelation. And then I thought, Binga, Binga. That's when he woke up. Come down, we're in school already. Oh, he said, sorry. I said, okay, when you come back? He said, that was pretty scary. He said, that was pretty scary. I said, don't worry. Then I had the small tab. I said, okay, when you come, you want to listen to it? He said, yes. I said, don't worry, when you come back home, I'll transfer it to your device so you can listen to it at home. Will you understand? No, at least, but it's Bible. Don't worry, the Holy Spirit knows what he's doing. Holy Spirit knows what he's doing. He will go there and instruct them in righteousness. The point I'm making is that don't transfer, you know, ungodly fears, ungodly habits, like the one they say now. Don't tell anybody when you are traveling, otherwise witches will chop you on the road. If you say that in there, may the Lord give you toothache. I know what I'm telling you. It's making waves now. Yes. Hide. Let me tell you, this is the word of the Lord, okay? Now, your toothache is for telling your children. If you want to confuse yourself, it's your problem. Do you follow what I'm saying? I'm telling you, if you instruct children in it, okay? Don't tell anybody, don't you understand that if you tell them now that you're writing an exam, it means you may fail. When they say, how are you doing? Say, I'm fine. When are you writing jam? Brethren, if you are writing jam, tell your children if they are writing jam. Tell them, auntie, it's next month. Pray for me. Do you know there are people who say that? Don't tell anybody, because they will give you brain block. You know, of course, the reason is because at that time your girl will be tired. Your girl will have drunk that night. He may be oversleeping. You know, Baal. You can call on him. He can't answer. The witches will just block your brain. You'll not be able to remember anything. So my children, let's help God, who can get tired. He sleeps and slumbers when he's worn out. No, think about it. By the time God finishes stopping war in Ukraine, he goes to Israel, stops war. By the time he gets back to your exam hall, he will be tired. He will take a chair beside you and sleep up on your keyboard. Is that not so? That's what we teach. So don't tell your auntie. The one they tell now, foolishness. Oh my God, foolishness. Don't tell your mother you are pregnant. Yes. Your own mother. You are a young woman. You've gotten married. Your mother is, expecting. You know what I mean? She's, let's not use the word anxious. She's wishing. She's praying. But if you get pregnant, don't let her know. Because when you get pregnant like that and she knows, she will say to her friend, who may be a witch now, and then the witch will now come together with your mother. Your mother may actually be a witch. All right, she know when you were born, her witchcraft had not yet matured. Because any born mother that wants to kill you, because maybe you're not big enough, you won't satisfy too many stomachs because you're a small baby. Maybe, I don't know. Because any mother that wanted to kill you had good opportunity when your head is coming out under her leg, crush that head together. You don't, nobody die with that. She just said, and fall down on top of your head as you land the ground. Is that not the easiest way to kill somebody? Why wait for the person to marry first? Cost you money in ceremony. Let's think about these things. Okay, they say the coven has not yet made a demand. The coven will now make a demand when you're a big girl about to have her grandchildren. Then she will now donate you and your children to the coven. Yes, your mother is mad. Okay, let's take it like that. I understand. She's an evil spirit. Now, so how do you now protect yourself from this wicked mother that you have? You will not hide that you are pregnant. As if witches can see. Demons are better than doctors at discerning pregnancies. I hope you know that. Nonsense. Well, that's what they are teaching now. I was using one of her sisters the other day. She said if I see the wahala she went through in church one day. She was teaching people in church. Listen to this. Was teaching in church. Women. And she looked, and there was one woman there. She had had, 4, 5 children. All right. She's a doctor. She's old. Not aged, but her children are grown. So she has seen pregnancies. She's had many pregnancies and has seen pregnancies. So she saw a woman in church and realized that woman was pregnant. The woman didn't tell her. She was just trying to explain a principle about life. Like this one, you know the way I joke now? We all do that. It doesn't have to be me. Everybody does it. She now joked and said, like this one now. And she knows she has to watch what she's eating. That was the beginning of the problem, though. The next 6 months, she was solving that problem. I'm not joking. Church. Oh, Pentecostal church. Faith teaching church. Let me tell you the one that will sadden you. Sorry, I don't mean to make you sad, but I just have to tell you since you look like you want to hear it. The advice not to tell anybody was given by the pastor's wife. Because she has had a miscarriage. Is that a new thing? I'm not saying we should have miscarriage, but there are 10 for 5 couple on the street. It's not an issue. So this one, I exposed her. Say, why did you expose me like that? Did you tell me you were pregnant? No. If I could see it, do you think other people are blind? Then what do you have to say? Do I have to say what? Everybody on this earth who has every woman, forget the men, maybe they won't know, they will just walk past because they have problems with their car. But every woman, they take a second glance at you, they know what's going on. Crying and wailing. You want to kill me? You won't kill me. My sister, kill you over what? You went and exposed me. Exposed you to who? Everybody in church is not like you. So? It's not about what they are like. It's what you are like. It's what your God is like. Brethren, please, I've seen that teaching trying to crawl around and I'm begging you in the name of the Lord, don't participate. That's what I'm saying. In the name of the Lord, do not participate. But let's stick with our topic for today. Okay, why shouldn't you participate? Because God is not afraid. Let's just make that clear. The Bible says he prepares a table before you in the presence of your enemies. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. God said, I act and who can hinder it? As for my outstretched arm, who can turn it back? If God wants to bless you, my God, let the wish know. They will just join the nutrients that God will use for your blessing. Do you get my point? If God wants you to grow, he needs to fertilize the ground. He just use a few mitches for manure. That's what's going to happen. Just for this is just for those who may not understand, but I'm not talking about that now. Now I'm talking about parents. Do not pass such nonsense fears over to your children. That's what I'm saying. Don't pass those kind of fears to your children. Don't let them learn it. Don't teach it to them. If you have such fears, go to your toilet, express your fears into the toilet bowl and flush it. Teach them to be bold. Teach them to be, you know, to have faith. God requires that from you. Do you follow? But let's stick on the matter of prayer. I should stick on the matter of prayer, all right? But and you pray for them. You write a script for their lives. You write what you want their life. See, I said it the other time. How do we write the script? Is take what God has written in heaven and then take it to him in prayer. That's one. And two, you prophesy it and declare it and decree it. When it comes to decreeing, there are places where you have right regularly, like your home. If you can, in your home, you can say, righteousness will dwell here in the name of Jesus. It's not a prayer point. It's a decree point. Do you hear my point? Yes. It's a decree point. That I will dedicate the child to the Lord is not a prayer point. It's you personally declaring that you will. It's you saying that this child is devoted to the Lord. And listen to me, saints of God, God requires it. You cannot, I said it before, you can't plan effectively the future of your children by hiding money somewhere. By giving them, let me tell you something. May God, let me say something about God again. Many people may not know. God blesses us, amen? As part of blessing us, his correction can be hard. So it will look like he's doing bad. If you spend all your energy to build a house for your children to inherit, while you live, God will make them sell that house. Please, let the money not be. It's a prayer I'm praying. Let me not go that way. Let the money not be to smoke Igbo. You know what they call smoking Igbo? Not only Igbo, but other things that are, the cousins, the relatives, the advanced form. You understand? You don't want it to be. Because if you disobey God to do things like that, that's what it will let it happen while you watch. Just to prove to you that all flesh is what? Grass. He has to prove to you that all flesh is grass. What is the assignment you have? Building up for them must be spiritual. Building up for them must be what? Spiritual. Last time we took it, let's read that scripture again. We just start with it, then we read the other ones. Okay, quickly, let's open our Bible, 1 Samuel chapter 1. Now we said, okay, we're talking about the story of Hannah, verse 24. Now when she had weaned him, let me just read the one I've been reading. When the child was weaned, Hannah took him to the tabernacle in Shiloh. They brought along a 3-year-old bull for the sacrifice and a basket of flour and some wine. After sacrificing the bull, they brought the boy to Eli. Sir, do you remember me? Anna asked. I'm the very woman who stood here several years ago praying to the Lord. I asked the Lord to give me this boy, and he has granted my request. Now I am giving him to the Lord, and he will belong to the Lord his whole life. And they worship the Lord there. The version we used last time said, so I have also dedicated him to the Lord. As long as he lives, he is dedicated to the Lord. Let me say it again. See, children are the heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is a reward. Now, one of the important meanings of that is that it's something we request from God and he gives us. These things were recorded for our learning. Every child that a Christian family has must be deliberately. You know, we do baby dedication in churches these days, right? Please, don't take it lightly. It's an important thing. It's not just a ceremony in which we eat. The food part is good. It's part of, no, ceremonies, you have food. Understand? Don't go and join the church where you won't cook for us. Someone will come to do anything in your house. It's not a good church. That kind of church, I will never be a member. Do you follow? If you're in a church where you say, you know, this world is not our home, I want to dedicate is a prayer time. Everybody come fasting. Tori Kini, I am not joining you. I'm not joining you in that, okay? But so the food is good. But what I'm saying is that don't take it lightly. As Christians, you don't have to wait till that day. You can start before then. As soon as the child is born, even before the child is born, you are dedicating the child to the Lord. This is an important thing. You say to the Lord and to the child, but to the Lord, now let's focus, it's prayer. So I have also dedicated him to the Lord. As long as he lives, he is dedicated to the Lord. Brethren, not only do you say this minute. Hope you're getting my point. Please, every small aside, when you are naming children, we Christians, it's a good habit we have. We look for Christian names, prophetic names. Names do a number of things. Read the scriptures. A lot of times, they tell the history. God uses them as signs. Isaiah said, I and the children the Lord has given me were for signs and wonders. Okay? Hosea's own. I don't really like that Hosea's own. So, said Rajon is laughing at me. Hosea's own, get as it be. All right? But that's a prophetic job in that area. Most of us don't have that kind of, you know, Hosea's children. You know their names? First one, Jezreel. Jezreel, because of one problem that Jehu caused, that God is coming to punish. Second one, not loved. Lo Ruhamah. Third one is what? Lo Ami. Not my people. See, by the way, let's just get that one out of the way. Hosea's life was a sacrifice. You understand what I mean? First, God said, go and marry a harlot. When I read that portion, I said, God, this kind of prophetic job, I hope you don't have a lineup for people like us, because... Okay, so these are unusual ones, okay? For us believers, we tend to give names, all right, that are prophetic, okay? They can be testimonies and they can be prophecies, okay? You also give, testimonies can be testimony of the Lord. Like Daniel. What does Daniel mean? God is my judge. The Lord judges. And when that means, it doesn't mean God punish my enemy. That's not what it means. seriously. Read our tract. Daniel. I have a tract titled Daniel. Go and read it. The meaning of that name is there. Alright? What's the meaning of Samuel? I asked him of the Lord. Do you get? Daniel means God the judge. What does this one mean? Which one? Strength of God. Which one is that one now? Gabriel. Okay, yeah. You know? So each name should say something. So the testimony of the Lord, the testimony of his goodness in your life. Do you understand? The other day I met somebody whose name, I didn't meet him, but my wife told me about him, whose name is Salvation is Gain. That's his name. And that one, his name is The Will of God. Let me not say the way the name is, really. Very Rastafarian way like this. The Will of God. But what I'm saying is that, look, choose names deliberate. Don't use funky names. Do you hear what I said? What did I say? Don't name your children after stars. You watch television. You like the way this girl dresses. You now name your pikin. That girl can't be normal. Do you follow my point? Yeah. Don't do that. You're watching television. You say, I've always liked the way this lady, the way she dresses, the way she carries her hair. It's very nice. And you now watch Telemundo for like 12 weeks. And you now deliver the 13th week. You now you take the main star. Give me a name of a Telemundo character. All of you are pretending like you don't watch it now. All right. There was one there. Oh, what's the name of that one? The one from India at that time. One of those things. Please. Sunita. See, let me tell you something. See, Pastor Mark, why are you talking like this? You'll be amazed at what Christians don't know. And what they do. You'll be amazed. Somebody is learning from this. Don't you name your child after a star that you watch on television. You go and your wife born Pekin, you want to be a musician, you call him Bonner. See, that guy will smoke. I know what I'm telling you. Don't try it. If you are going to name your son David, let it be the David of the Bible. Even that one, you will want David that. See, biblical David, let's just get it clear. It is the warrior side, the loving God side of you. This Uriah killing side is not part of the thing I'm talking about. Please, I need to tell your names. Good enough. In Nigeria, at least, I'm preaching from Nigeria. And Southern Nigeria, especially, I know about the culture in the South. Our names, the native names we use, Christians are very good at creating. You understand? We create names to declare. Where's the tall reverend? You know the name of his son? He wrote it in a full sentence. I said, this boy, you are going to, I don't know how they are going to handle you in school because, yeah, there's no space. The boy's name is, there is no king like God, full in the Yoruba like that. And that's the boy's name. That's how it's written. I said, wait, how will you fill your jam form? Now, it's very good. Things like that. That was kind of long, but I mean, you get what I'm trying to say. I like it. Christians, that's how we give names. The names, now this is one thing I believe. In my home, I can give you all the names. But for each person, their name is representative of the whole family. It's not their own alone. Yeah, that's what I said. If your name is Daniel, you are bearing Daniel on behalf of all your siblings. Do you get? Because there are so many prophetic words I want to put into the house, so I share it on everybody. You share it. Each name must be prophetic. Each name must be prophetic. It must be something, of course, like I said, it can be a testimony of the Lord, a testimony of what God did for you, or a prophecy of what God is doing in. If you are listening to me, you don't need many of your own name. Eh? Go and pray and get a good name. Do you get my point? I don't care how old you are. Just look at your name. You don't even know where it came from. Especially when maybe your father had a good friend when he was young, and in the man's name, a man came from Paraguay, and his name was Stone. He now named you after Stone. The only meaning of Stone you know is these stones around your house. You can't even make, you know, there's, you know, it can be Peter, and you know that God is using you as a rock. You understand my point here? But this one, you're just Mr. Stone. There's a group of people in Nigeria. My wife is from that side. They give names to mark national events. You can have the name, but don't use it. How many people know Nigerian politician called manager? Manager. You should know him. Yes. What is it? Yes. I had a colleague. His name is Ku. Ku, coup d'etat. Plot a coup to dethrone the government. It's very common in that part, Niger Delta, some areas. They do it a lot. They use the name. There are people whose name is independence. And that means you just know they were born 1960. You know. You just know. It's not something you will know they were born 1960. Okay? It's not a bad name, but are you planning to be a historian? Do you get what I'm saying? If you're not planning to be a historian, all right, get another name that's prophetic. Are you getting me? Yes. Huh. You go and call yourself a queen, just because that is when Elizabeth, is it Victoria that came to Nigeria? Uh-huh. Yeah, some people do that. You just see a child called a queen of England. It's just because that's when she visited Nigeria, the woman born, when the woman was around. So, such names, those historical names are not very Christian. They are not evil, but I'm telling you, get a prophetic name, a name of testimony and a name of prophecy. A name that signifies something you believe that God will do through you, that's through that household, to that child. It's very important. Okay? Don't take it lightly. If you see, when Jesus will meet people, he used to change their names. When God will meet people, he will change their names. I'm convinced. What's the name of our guy? Son of Sorrow. Jabez. I'm convinced, but there's not written in scripture. After that, his name changed. You can't be bearing foolish names and God will be calling you a foolish name. Because anytime he talks, it's a prophecy. It's confirmed. It says, son of sorrow. God will say, I beg. Before your life is messed up completely, from now on, I call you joy, oil of joy. So next time you come, we call you oil of joy. Hey, Jabez is not a good name. Do you get my point? Nabal is why you be behaving foolishly. Do you remember Nabal? Yes, Nabal is his name, and folly is with him. Whoever gave his son Nabal in the first place, I'm sure was somebody angry with his wife or a woman angry with her husband. born pekin, foolish boy. The boy has never done it. That's Nabal's name. And of course, the name was controlling him. He began to talk like a fool. And he was going to die one day. Thank God for Abigail, who went and saved his life. Even then, he still died. Foolishness is very bad. It can kill. Are you getting my point? Ask yourself now as I'm talking, what's the meaning of my name? It's very important. Just be checking it. It must have a prophetic meaning or a meaning of testimony. Because testimonies are important with God. You keep rehearsing something that he did. I hope you're getting my point. Please, we need to emphasize that. I thank God we Christians, we generally have that habit. I hear all kinds of names. You just rejoice. We use Hebrew. We use English. We use our native names. And there is a very beautiful habit. And please, nobody should take it lightly. Somebody will say, why are you changing your name? Doesn't matter. Don't argue with anybody. So if it didn't matter, why was God changing people's names? He met Abraham, changed it to Abraham. He met Peter. He met Simon. He said, your name is Peter. All right? That was his habit. He gives you a name, all right, to show what he wants to do in your life, what he's doing, the testimonies of what he's accomplishing through you on the earth. The name of Jesus, we know his names. What are those names? You know, Jesus is a Greek name. You know the real name they gave him, the Hebrew one? It's Joshua, which is short for Jehoshua. The Lord saves. Another name he has, Emmanuel. That is the incarnate God, God with us. Do you understand? These are the names they call him, all right? You can't just call him anyhow. Each name you bear must have a sound meaning. That's how you get prophesied upon regularly. That's how you prophesy to your children on a regular basis. You get what I'm saying? All right. So we are just reading those scriptures. So please, when you are praying for, this is very important. Write the script for the life of your children. So the first one will be read the other time. Says what? I have also dedicated him to the Lord. As long as he lives, he is dedicated to the Lord. Everybody read it again. No, okay, that's verse 28. Okay, the one I read is in the New American Standard. Just read it with me again. Please open to that New American Standard. We're going to read the whole verse apart from the last six words or so. Yeah. 1 Samuel chapter 1 verse 28. Are you ready? Now read it robustly. Want to let's go. So I have also dedicated him to the Lord. As long as he lives, he's dedicated to the Lord. One more time. So I have also dedicated him to the Lord. As long as he lives, he is dedicated to the Lord. Hallelujah. So that is the life of every one of your children in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. I said that is the life of every single one of your children in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. All right, let's read the other ones because our school of prayer, we're writing scripts, writing concerning the lives of our children. And if you're listening to this, please, it's an assignment you have. Ask us, when last you bless or pray for these children? It's an assignment you have. Now, I love a number of scriptures we're going to read. Okay? Open with me first to Psalm 144. Psalm 144. We're going to read about four verses there. Psalm 144. We'll read from around verse 12 all the way to verse 15. It said, may our sons flourish in their youth like well-nurtured plants. May our daughters be like graceful pillars carved to beautify a palace. May our barns be filled with crops of every kind. May the flocks of our fields multiply by the thousands, even tens of thousands. And may our oxen be loaded down with produce. May there be no enemy. God bless you for the amen, but allow me to read the amen. And may there be no enemy breaking through our walls and going into captivity. No cries of alarm in our town squares. Say, yes, joyful are those who live like this. Joyful indeed are those whose God is the Lord. Now, since you're saying amen, now let me do it again so you can finish the amen. I'll finish my reading, okay? Now, let's do the amen part of it. May our sons flourish in their youth like well-nurtured plants.
Amen.
May our daughters be like graceful pillars carved to beautify a palace.
Amen.
May our barns be filled with crops of every kind.
Amen.
May the flocks in our fields multiply by the thousands,
amen,
even tens of thousands.
Amen.
And may our oxen be loaded down with produce.
Amen.
May there be no enemy breaking through our walls.
Amen.
No going into captivity.
Amen.
No cries of alarm in our town squares.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Now this is how you write the script for the life of your children. That verse 12. You will say to them, you will flourish in your youth like a well-nurtured plant to the sons. And your daughter, you say to them, you will be like a graceful pillar carved to beautify a palace. Are you seeing what I'm saying here? Now, this is something you do, okay? When you lay hands on your children, speak these words to them. It's not like I tell my kids in the house, you come by yourself in the morning, put your knee down, put your head, bow your head, and let me bless you. Let your mother bless you. Literally, I've done that. I don't know, to say scores of times, count, scores 20, right? When do you start this thing? They just come in the morning. You see me passing. Or me, a lot of times, you know, when everybody has to leave in the morning, after morning prayer, everybody come, kneel. I speak a word concerning your life, concerning your destiny. Very important. As a parent, this is one thing you must do concerning for your children. Even if you're on your own, you're in your room, you are praying for them. Let my sons in their youth be as grown-up plants, well-nurtured plants. My daughters be like graceful pillars, carved to beautify a palace. You can repeat this to say, not in the counting. There are scriptures you must carve in your heart. So occasionally you declare them. Now listen, these are assignments that God gives. Do you follow my point? See, what the children, no, I said it the other time. What children need from you is not money. No. Sometimes I say what people do, oh God, it just pains me. So if you put a quarter of this effort into the their spirituality, this future you want for them, it'll be more secure. Now please, I don't wish anybody bad. I'm not saying anything negative, but let's face facts. You can invest money to put your children in trouble. Do you know that? One day one of our brothers called me. He said his own boss called him to complain that the way they are deporting or sending their children back home, their staff, all right? They are sending their children back home is alarming. His own boss. Why are they sending them back home? They've gone crazy because father sent them abroad to go and stay where everything is safe. Where he was not there to monitor them, somebody taught them to smoke. Somebody gave them some narcotics. Before they knew what was happening, the boys were not balanced again. So they send them back home to come and recover. They have a new set of problems now. Now the person telling me said, look, the team was so plenty. His own boss. So he knew so many of their staff that it happened to. So now calling to complain. Say, what's going on in this our company? It's not the physical effort. See, let me tell you something. I said something. There's what is called kindling your own fire. It's when you have your own way, your ideas, your methods of making your children successful and secure later in life. God will just be watching you. Say, what are these people? They are run to Egypt, not by me. I was listening to, was it Hosea that was speaking? Talking about plans that people make, you know, that they crown kings of themselves and, you know, they don't seek my counsel. Let me say it again. What your children need more than anything. Look, Jacob. I don't know how God helped Rebecca or Isaac I don't know what they did to make Jacob understand. The man was willing to let go of everything just for his father. You know what they call inheritance? Now maybe you understand. Let me explain it. The way Jacob saw it. It was his father to place his hands on him and prophesy to him. I don't know whether you're getting my point. Inheritance, many people complain, many of us are concerned about today is what? Land, will, they write a will, you know, precious metals, gold and stuff like that. No. In Jacob's case, he was willing to sell anything like that for his father to place a hand on him and prophesy. That's what he was, you don't get it. That's all he was gunning for. That his father placed a hand on him and prophesied. And he told him how great he would be. After that, Jacob said, there's no problem. If he had to run away, no problem. I'll run away. If Esau will collect all his father's inheritance, let him take the physical one. But the spiritual one that mattered, Jacob was willing to fight for that one. So this is, I see it, it just saddens me that, look, that is what, you don't understand. The greatest men, materially speaking, these days, you ask them who their fathers were. You know, I was watching a video the other day. It's not new. It's nothing strange. It's just a story I just watched. Manzion, my family, his children did a film about his life. I realized that, I don't know what happened to his own father, but his mother died when he was a little boy, handed him over to his sister to take care of. And when that one went to school, do you get? That one handed him over to an auntie to take care of, and there he was a, how do you describe children that just cause trouble? You know, like, he was a troublesome, so he was always getting into trouble. Always getting into trouble. He was always stealing. No? Yeah. Stealing small things. It was the gospel that changed him. Then he got to university, in the fellowship he joined, university. I don't know which school, which of the schools, the high institution anyway that he went to. He now decided to, be writing dramas, and he started acting. And the very, in fact, I didn't know really, I knew the story, but the very first drama they did, we watched it, they used to do stage dramas. Unprofitable Servant. Okay, that was the very first. From that movie, obviously, that was the very first they did. From there, now we are here preaching with him. From what we know, his father did not leave anything for him. But I thank God for the life of people like that. You can see what he has done to his own children. They have not carried the ministry to another level. So please, what I'm trying to say, brethren, even if God gives you a lot of money that you can set your children up, you are listening to me, that's not the most important thing you give to them. If you don't get on your knees and prophesy from this particular chapter that we're talking about, that your money is worthless. It's nothing. Told a friend of mine, went to see him. He said, if you guys have time. This was many years ago. 2020 is quite a long time ago. He said, do you remember this particular politician? One of Nigeria's top politicians. When I say top, I don't want to mention names and I don't want to give a clue. He said, do you remember something? Ah, I mentioned the name. I remember now. Ah, he said, if you guys have time, I will take you to where the only daughter his wife, I think he had another wife, had for him. So I will take you to where she's working for minimum wage in New York. Yeah. He said, Kai, I wish you guys had time. Then let her just serve you. Do you get the logic? He said, just go to the shop, buy something so you can go on record. That one of the most powerful men when you were young, the only daughter is working for minimum wage and she served me. So I can take you to the shop. This was somebody that does this in the news. The mother will board a flight to Paris to go and buy cosmetics. Do you understand? Your pancake finish. According to one woman, your building construction materials. You don't blame the woman, you got their foundation. If anybody tells that this money is not temporal, forget it. The person doesn't know anything. Let's read. These are the scriptures. Please note the scriptures. These are the scriptures we read to write a script for the lives of our children. Quickly, this is so... Look. In fact, the one I was referring to, let's quickly read the Genesis chapter 27. Brethren, you talk to your children. Now, please, all this, just be holding the scriptures out, please. Very important. Because at the end of the day, I'm going to give you time. You will take time and read these things out for your children. Write the script for their lives. Genesis chapter what? 27. Let's look at how Jacob was blessed by Isaac. Now I'm going to start reading from verse 27. Then you'll join me from verse 28. Now let me read the New American Standard. Then his father Isaac said to him, please come and kiss me, my son. So he came close and kissed him. And when he smelled the smell of his garments, he blessed him and said, see, the smell of my son is like the smell of a field which the Lord has blessed. Now, join me in verse 28. May the Lord give you of the dew of heaven and of the fatness of the earth and an abundance of grain and new wine. May peoples serve you and nations bow down to you. Be master of your brothers and may your mother's sons bow to you. Cursed be those who curse you and blessed be those who bless you. Now we're going to read that again. This time around, I want you to read it with me, all right? With a very warm voice. Verse 28. Once let's go. Now, may God give you of the dew of heaven, and an abundance of grain and new wine. May people serve you, and nations bow down to you. Be master of your brothers, and may your mother's sons bow down to you. Cursed be those who curse you, and blessed be those who bless you. Now, I want you to just note that. Again, quickly open your Bibles. Now, when you are going to bless children, this is what you use. May God give you of the dew of heaven. You know what that means? That is, God will supply, how do I say it now? It will, look, there's a way he said it. He said, the Lord will pour water upon the seed that is sown. You know what that means? Which means that when people make, as an example, investment, which naturally speaking will not work, yours will work. Do you get my point? It means when you sow in a land that is dry, that's what he's trying to say. That listen, your life will not be a life dictated by the surrounding circumstances. That wherever the Lord leads you to put your foot down, there you will flourish. And he had experienced it. You know, he had experienced it. There was a time everybody was running to Egypt. God said, don't go to Egypt. You dwell in the land. It was in Gera. Sow in that land. And he sowed in the land. And the same year, he reaped a hundredfold. That's the meaning of may God give you of the dew of heaven and of the fatness of the earth and an abundance of grain and new wine. He said, may people serve you. That's an important blessing, though. In this life, you can't succeed by yourself. You need help. He said, may people serve you and nations bow down to you. Now, be master of your brothers, that is those who are in competition with you. I hope you're getting my point. Yes. And may your mother's sons, here is referring to those who are in competition with you, bow down to you. The next night, I believe we understand that. Cursed be those who curse you. You know what that means? Maybe your children go to school. Some people now say that they're joining cults. And as I want to be harassing them. If it's your son, bad idea. If it's your daughter, bad idea. Do you follow my point? No, it's a prayer you pray for children. These words will go and protect them when you are not there. It's a curse be those who curse you. That is, anyone who decides to put them into trouble, the person has already entered trouble before he executes his own plan. Brethren, let me say something. The Bible says that the angels, they hearken unto the voice of the word of God. They didn't say, he said, they hearken unto the voice of his word. Now, what I like about that, he didn't say they hearken unto God. What are they hearken unto? What are they hearken unto? The voice of his word. What does that tell you? Once you put the word of God upon your lips, they hearken also. So when you bless your children with this, what you are saying to them is divine protection surrounds you everywhere you go. The angels of God they surround you and deliver you from all kinds of troubles. Let's continue reading. Quickly, open your Bible this time around. Now, this is one of my favorite blessings in the Bible. Genesis chapter 49. Now, please don't forget, be noting these things because I'm going to give us some time now to use these things to pray. Quickly, Genesis chapter 49. Now, Joseph was here. Jacob was here. This time around, he was the one blessing his children. Now, this is one of the sweetest blessings in these scriptures. Now, I'm going to read from verse 22. Then, verse 25 is where we'll find the blessing. Okay, let's use the New Living Translation, okay? Because I think it's easier to understand. Joseph is the foal of a wild donkey. He said, the foal of a wild donkey at a spring, one of the wild donkeys on the ridge. Archers attacked him savagely. They shot at him and harassed him. But his bow remained taut, and his arms were strengthened by the hands of the mighty one of Jacob, by the shepherd, the rock of Israel. Now listen to the blessing. You can say amen to this because I know you can't resist. May the God of your father help you.
Amen.
May the Almighty bless you.
Amen.
May the Almighty bless you with the blessings of the heavens above.
Amen.
And blessings of the watery depths below.
Amen.
And blessings of the breast and womb.
Amen.
He said, may my fatherly blessings on you surpass the blessings of my ancestors.
Amen.
Do you understand what he's saying here? This blessing may surpass the one we just read. Don't you want to even bless yourself with this kind of blessing? We just described what his father blessed him with. He said, may my fatherly blessings on you surpass the blessings of my ancestors, reaching to the heights of the eternal hills. May these blessings rest on the head of Joseph,
Amen.
Who is a prince among his brothers. Brethren, let me just give you a moment. Take this and bless your children. No, really, begin to pray. Now, you're going to have a few minutes. You can, at this point in time, reverse back to some of the ones we just read. This is so powerful. This is how you bless children. May the God of your father help you. May the Almighty bless you. Call your children's name one by one. May the Almighty bless you with the blessings of the heavens above, and the blessings of the watery depths below, and the blessings of the breasts and womb. May my fatherly blessings on you surpass the blessings of my ancestors. That's one we just read just now. Say concerning your children, may you be blessed with the blessings above. May God command upon you the blessings of the depths below. The blessings from the depths below. That's what he said. May nations serve you. May nations serve you. May help come to you. May God open the dew of heaven for you. May he pour rain for you from above. When people said a place is dry, for you, water will fall from above. Favor will surround you. That's what it means. Favor. Favor will surround you. Brent, that's how to write the script. These are the things that will happen to your children. Yes, this will be their experience. These words will not die. These words will command favor for them. These words will command angels to help them. They will travel on their own, but these words will protect them. That's what God wants us to do. These things were recorded for our learning. May the God of your father help you. And please, brethren, when you catch your children at home, do this to them. You can write it, open the scripture and read it upon them. This is what they need. It's not money. It's not money first. It's not money first. May these blessings rest upon your head. Mention your children one by one. You're listening to me somewhere. Mention. Look, at the end of this meeting, maybe you can't finish all the prayer while we are here. Go back to these scriptures. Brethren, this is what you wake up at night to do. Not to be fighting witches that can't do anything to you in the first place. This is what you rise up early in the morning to do. Not raising any altar versus which altar. I keep on saying, Balaam? When Balaam built 7 altars and sacrificed 7 bulls and 7 lambs, on those altars. And he said, there's no enchantment that works against Jacob. There's no divination that works against Israel. No magic. Israel did not know he was up to anything. As long as they did not join themselves to the Baal of Peor, they had no problem. To declare these words upon our household, that's why we rise up to pray. That is when we rise up to pray. That is when we rise up to pray. Now, there's that scripture we read at the beginning. Let's quickly read that one again. Go back to Isaiah chapter 59. Because when we talk about praying according to the will of God, God always expresses his desires, his plans for us. Today, as I was studying, Hosea, I just realized something. God will say some things negative, very, very harsh. Then suddenly, it's as if Hosea just lost himself. Then I say, no, I will not reject forever. I will not wipe Israel. Then he starts saying something very positive. Then he dawned on me. God is saying, this is the situation right now. But this is what I want it to be. Do you get my point? That look, if only they will repent and call upon me, this is how their lives will be. That's what is called the will of God. Are you getting my point? That is what is called the will of God. All these things we are reading, they are the will of God. Once these things are recorded in scripture like that for us, they are the will of God. The job we have is to make them our own prayer. So you say, thy will, what? Be done. Quickly, go back to Isaiah chapter 59. We read it just now at the beginning. Isaiah 59. Please, if you are listening to this, take these scriptures, compile these scriptures, if possible, select them out onto a sheet, bring them out and use them to pray. Isaiah chapter 59, this is the will of God concerning your children. We read it just now, which is verse what? Yes, we read 21, 20 and 20, but let's just read 21 now. He said, and this is my covenant with them, says the Lord. My spirit will not leave them. And neither will these words that I have given you, they will be on your lips and on the lips of your children and your children's children forever. I, the Lord, have spoken. Somebody say amen to that.
Amen.
This is God's covenant with you. Your spirit, His spirit will not leave you. Say amen.
Amen.
His words will not leave you.
Amen.
Now that same spirit will be upon your children.
Amen.
Those same words will be upon their lips.
Amen.
And upon the lips of their own children.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Now take a moment and declare that upon your children. Say, the spirit of God that He has given to me, the love of God He has given to me, will be upon you in the name of Jesus. The word of God that He has given to me will be upon you in the name of Jesus. The word of God that He has given to me will be upon you in the spirit. That's the thing. The spirit. Now begin to, you know, Paul said concerning Timothy, this spirit of faith, this faith that was in, that is in you, was in your mother Lois, your mother Eunice, and your grandmother Lois. That is, this faith moved from one generation to another. Begin to declare, say, upon your children, you are saying your faith will be amplified. Like the faith of Lois and Eunice were amplified in the life of Timothy, so it will be in the name of Jesus. Whatever knowledge I have of God will not go down in your life in the name of Jesus. If anything, it will be amplified. It's very important. Say, if anything, it will be amplified. See, the power of God in my life will be amplified in yours in the name of Jesus. The testimonies of God in my life will be amplified in your name, in your life in the name of Jesus. As it is written, my spirit, says the Lord, will not leave them. And neither will these words I have given you. They will be on your lips and on the lips of your children and your children's children forever. He said, I, the Lord, have spoken. Say, as the Lord has spoken, let it be done in your life in the name of Jesus. As the Lord has spoken, let it be done in your life in the name of Jesus. That's what He said. He said, as the Lord has spoken. Because any of your children say, as the Lord has spoken, it will be done in your life in the name of Jesus. This word will not leave you alone. Now, just pray to the Lord. Say, Father God, never leave them alone. Say, God, if you pray it, God will answer. Say it again, my children will serve you. My children will serve you. I will not have a testimony that my children, any one of them, departed from my own faith. The faith that I have in you, no. If anything, they will carry it further. They will obey you more than I have ever obeyed. It's a prayer I pray for them. But that's the treasure I'm leaving for them. Like Isaac blessed Jacob, not with inheritance of sheep. In the name of Jesus, I bless them with your spirit. Quickly open to the book of Isaiah chapter 8. You know, I said this is the will of God. Somebody say amen to that.
Amen.
It is what? The will of God. Once it's declared, you use that to write the script of your life. And use it to write the script. That's what we're doing today for your children. Isaiah chapter 8 verse 18. We'll read this, read one more scripture, and then we'll pray, and then we'll go. Verse 18. Are you there? Okay, New American Standard. 1-2, let's go. Behold, I and the children whom the Lord has given me are for signs and wonders in Israel from the Lord of hosts who dwells on Mount Zion. One more time. Behold, I and the children whom the Lord has given me are for signs and wonders in Israel from the Lord of hosts who dwells on Mount Zion. Now, Professor, over your children with that. For a minute, you have a minute to do that. I and the children. These children are for signs and for wonders. Their lives will be a testimony. They will be a testimony of what God can do. If any one of them is sick, yes, they will be a testimony of the healing power of God. Whatever be the problem in that life, is going to be a testimony of the healing power of God. There was a man that was born blind. He became a sign in Israel. Remember him. He said, who sinned that this one should be born blind? Jesus said, relax. He said, but I must walk the walk of him that sent me while it is day. For the night comes when no man can walk. Now begin to prophesy. I want anybody to prophesy healing. Whether it's a mental healing you need or physical healing for that child, now is time to get it. It is time to get it. And what is the word? That's how God has taught me recently. One scripture will just be activated. He said, I and the children the Lord has given me, they are for signs and for wonders. So we are for signs and for wonders. So this child, you are a testimony of the healing power of God. Lay claim to that one. You are a testimony of the healing power of God. You are a testimony of the healing power of God. I want you to lay claim to that. Somebody needs healing for the child. Lay claim to that. Lay claim to that. Lay claim to that. No, you need to lay claim to it. Yes, you know, that child had an issue, had a problem, had a sickness. But God said, this is the word of the Lord concerning you. It is to be a testimony in Israel. It's to be a testimony of the work of the Lord. It's to be a testimony of the resurrection power of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's to be a testimony to encourage other people concerning what God can do. Declare right now, take hold of that. Faith is being stirred up in your heart. If that child is near you, lay your hands on the child. The healing power of God will go now in the name of Jesus. Now, that's the activating word. That's the word that's been activated. It's the faith that's been activated for healing. Now, in the name of Jesus. What is it? It's a testimony. I and the children that the Lord has given me are for signs, are for wonders. This child, you're a testimony of the mercy. Yes, the mercy of God. The mercy of God, the healing power of God, the mercy of God, the healing power of God. I and the Lord and the children that the Lord has given me, we are for signs and for wonders. We are for signs and for wonders. Hallelujah. Let's read one more scripture, then we'll give the Lord thanks and we'll close. Quickly. One more scripture. The book of Deuteronomy chapter 33. One of the things I learned is to lift up the name of the Lord. Let me just take a moment and encourage us concerning that. Please, everybody, see, let me say it again. If you're a Christian, scripture must be your habit. What did I say? Reading it, memorizing it, uttering it must be your habit. Commit it to memory. Songs are very good, though. Look, as a Christian, you can sing all kinds of songs, but avoid meaningless songs. What I mean is not the rhythm that matters to me. If you want to rap, to remember scripture, rap it. But don't go and be singing, you want to start this thing. You're not starting anything. Do you follow my point? do you get my point? It doesn't have any meaning. Don't waste your singing time. Do you understand? Just by the way, do you know why God, I found out, I'm very sure of it. You know, songs are not natural. It's an invention from God. God had to teach us how to sing. Is that okay? We say birds sing. Birds actually don't sing. They just make noise. Do they sing? But the one that I call, it's a nice sound, but it's not a song. Tell them to repeat it. If it's a song, you should be able to repeat it. Go over it again and again. For the Lord is a great God. That's how the sounds were sung. The Psalms are the book of songs. Do you get my point? You know, these people, Bible experience, they try to do it as songs, but they went and used American songs. That American singing is not... Let's leave it like that. You know why? Not all of us can draw our voice. I can't do that. Do you get? Songs should be something all of us can do. That's the kind. Now, if you go and read the Deuteronomy... Did I say you should go somewhere? Where? Deuteronomy 33, right? Okay, Deuteronomy 33. But if you go to 32, now, 33 we are going to, okay? But if you go to 32, if you read verse 30 of 31, let me read the New Living Translation. It says, so Moses recited this entire song publicly to the assembly of Israel. The whole of 32 was a song. If you have some Bibles, they will hear that portion, the song of Moses. Now, in case you do not know, how many verses are there? 52 verses. Yeah. Time will not allow us, well, for that's not part of our message for today. But let me see where the song ended. 43. From 1 to 43 is one song. 1 to 43. Now, it looks like, who memorized this? It's not hard. If this thing has a tune, in 1 week, you know every line of it. Anybody, somebody listening to me should take up this challenge. Get a tune for Psalm 119. You know, each segment, you know, Psalm 119 is broken into like A, B, C, D, in the Hebrew alphabet. Each one is 8 verses in the English Bible. 8 verses. It's not difficult. If you sing that thing as a hymn, you'll be amazed that children will, even adults will memorize the whole of Psalm 119. How many verses? Open it. Just look. Psalm 119. How many verses are there? 176. Do you, A, B, C, D, the Bible use Hebrew or English? That's the number it, A, B, C, D. Anyway, 176 divided by 8. All of you carry smart device, do it for me. 176 divided by 8 is, 22 stanzas. So that song has 22 stanzas. Believe me, people can learn it. Yeah. 22 stanzas. People will learn it. If the song is not interesting, people will learn it. It's not a difficult thing. People will learn it. Why did God give us songs? To help us remember scripture. It's to help us remember the counsel of God. Of course, it's been corrupted to, spoil the earth. But the real reason why God gives songs is so that we'll remember the counsel of God. That's the job of songs. Very important, we'll bear that in mind. Somebody listen to me. Take up that challenge. Write a nice song for Psalm 119. 22 stanzas. Each one is 8 verses. People will learn it. You'll be amazed at the number of young Christians that can recite for you the whole of Psalm 119. Now, why did I start talking about songs? Okay, yes. Okay. Now, just go down, if you're in Deuteronomy there, just go down to 33. Yeah. So, one of the things I learned, okay, as I was studying my scriptures, one of the things I learned is how to lift up the name of the Lord. Very important, how to lift up the Lord's name. Lifting it up over situations, over people. Sometimes you want to bless your people. You want to bless your children. You don't have to say the Lord bless you. Just lift up the name of the Lord over the person's head. It's one of the things we learn. Like one of the ones I like most is from Exodus 34. It's one of the things we must learn to do. Yeah, in verse 6. It said, then the Lord passed by in front of him and proclaimed, the Lord God, compassionate and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in loving kindness and truth, who keeps loving kindness for thousands, who forgives iniquity, transgression, and sin. They continue speaking there. You understand? Okay? But where I normally quote, this is where I stop quoting it. That is the name of the Lord. One of the things we learn to do is lift up this name and place his name over your children. You're not even praying. You just declare the name. The Lord God. You know, it's so important. God told Israel, one of the things you do, hey, let's read that one, please. Open to it quickly. Elder John, where's that one? Numbers chapter what? The Lord bless you and keep you. Number 6. Yes. I think it's number 6. Yes. He said, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. Yeah. It's Numbers chapter 6. He said, then the Lord spoke to Moses saying, speak to Aaron and to his sons saying, thus you shall bless the sons of Israel. You shall say to them, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance on you and give you peace. You know, now, why I read that, what I was quoting is verse 27. It says, so they shall invoke my name on the sons of Israel, and then, he said, I then will bless them. Now, this is my understanding here. This was not a prayer per se. It's an invocation. The emphasis was not, the way I understand it, it was not on the blessing, but on the Lord. Do you follow my point? That is like, the point he was making is that the Lord is the one that blesses. The Lord is the one that keeps. The Lord is the one that protects. Once the name is lifted over the people and you lift their eyes in their hearts towards the name, automatically they invoke the blessings of God upon them. That's why God said, he said, they shall invoke my name. It's an invocation. So that's why I said what I was saying earlier. So to say something like, the Lord God, compassionate and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in loving kindness and truth, who keeps loving kindness for thousands and forgives iniquity, transgression and sin. There's like no prayer there. You understand my point? But you have lifted the name of the Lord over somebody. God said, I will turn around and bless that individual. One of the ones we recite in my house is one that I want us to read together. And then we'll go, we go. That's Deuteronomy chapter 32. Are you there now? Please go back there. Deuteronomy 32. 33, sorry. Thank you for the correction. Go to New Living Translation. We're going to read this together and we're going to close with it. Can I give you an assignment? Go and recite. Go and memorize. In fact, you know, it's not just this one. Go and memorize the scriptures. It's a very nice. No, Christians have power. Amen. They have power with them. Amen. They have a small problem. They are not very diligent. Do you know Muslims memorize the Quran? Jews memorize the Torah. Anybody that calls himself or herself a Christian and doesn't have scriptures committed to memory. And I don't know, how many of you saw you one joke? They said to memorize verse. And the Lord said, oh, the Moses says, that's a fraudulent heart. Because of that guy, we have had to write new rules now. If you want to do Bible recitation, one, his statements must make sense. It cannot be a phrase or a clause. It must be a complete sentence. It must contain a promise, an instruction, an admonition, or a description. Do you? Yes, because one guy, they say recite scripture. And the Lord said to Moses, say, that guy is fraudulent at heart. If I was in that congregation that day, whatever prize they are giving the winner, and I pray he wins, I'll now go, I'll give him his prize, then double it and give it to that young woman. That young woman was so fine with scripture. Anyway, what I'm going to say, Christians, we should memorize scripture. Make it a habit. Memorize scripture. It's beautiful. It's beautiful. It's beautiful. Commit it to memory. Like I said, scripture should be your habit. You know, I was saying earlier, one, read, two, memorize, three, declare, utter, recite. Now, this is a beautiful one. I like so much. We use it in my home a lot. Everybody, let's rise to our feet because we're going to close now. Let's rise to our feet. I want us to read this one together. Remember, the last thing I explained to us is how to invoke the name of the Lord. Very important. Please, now, all of us are going to read together, but please, open to New Living Translation. No, we'd like to read one together. We are reading four long verses, 26 to 29. Are we ready? All right, one, two, let's go. There is no one like the God of Israel. He rides across the heavens to your help, to help you. Across the skies in majestic splendor. The eternal God is your refuge, and his everlasting arms are under you. He drives out the enemy before you. He cries out, destroy them. So Israel will live in safety, prosperous Jacob in security, in the land of grain and new wine. Why the heavens drop down dew. How blessed are you, O Israel. Who else is blessed like you? A people saved by the Lord. He is your protecting shield and your triumphant sword. Your enemies will cringe before you and you will stomp on their backs. Now, what am I saying? Hold this scripture. Tell your child, stand there, or the family, stand there. And you invoke the name of the Lord over them. Do you get my point? You invoke the name of the Lord. It's simple. This is not like a prayer. You are just telling, you know, you are uttering the power of God over somebody. It's a simple thing. So now we have recited this together, but let me just use my own words, okay? Just to make it say, there's none like your God. There's none like the God of your father. There's none like the God of the God of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's an utterance. Who rides the heavens to your help and to the skies in his majesty. This eternal God is your dwelling place. You are declaring. And underneath you are his everlasting arms. He has driven out the enemy from before you, saying, let destruction overtake them. I took that from Bible in basic English. It says, so you will dwell in security. You will dwell secluded in a land of green and new wine. And the heavens over you will drop down dew. You are blessed. Say you are blessed. You are saved by the Lord. The Lord is the shield of your help, the sword of your majesty. Your enemies will cringe before you, and you will tread upon their high places. It's not like you're blessing. You're not praying. What are you doing? Say invoking. Somebody say invoking. Invoking. Somebody say invoking. See, you know, I keep saying this. We get our own juju. Those of you who grew up in Eastern Nigeria, you will know this one. Ask Olayinka. Those of us who grew up in Western Nigeria, we know how they do juju. There's nothing you want to say. That there's nothing you say before it. Olayinka, you know what I'm saying? When you want to command something, you won't just command now. See, do you think I thought we smile? Even in a Lagos girl, this is smiling, not be. Let's leave that. But that they do it there in that place, they will tell you that, this was what happened when this one happened. And Oka said this, and this one said this one. He'll first give you a sentence, a recitation. They now tell you, do this one. That's how they issue command. And it's very spiritual. They go to school to learn it. Some people go to Ife and go and learn Odu-Ife. University to go and learn it. There are things that have been codified. Now, when I became older and I began to study the scriptures, I said, that one are counterfeit now. This one, there's a testimony I give all the time. When this banditry thing, headsman issue was getting hot that time, I had to go home. I had my whole family minus one in the vehicle. Security was an issue. I just went back to this scripture. Everybody in the vehicle, everybody repeat after me. There's none like the God of Israel who rises the heavens to our help and to the skies in his majesty. The eternal God is our dwelling place and underneath us are his everlasting arms. Say, he has driven out the enemy from before us. He said, let destruction overtake them. Say, but we will dwell in safety. We will dwell secluded in the land of green and new wine and the heavens of our hope will drop down dew. After that, I said, guys, let's go. Now I look back now. Nobody say I live bold. Say, the word works. Yeah, it was the word that gave us the boldness, gave me the faith that, come on, let's drive. Brethren, one of the ways you write the script for your, not just your life, but the life of your children, everybody kneel down and invoke the name of the Lord over their head. God, you know what the Lord said? Who can tell what he said? He said, then I will arise and bless them. That's what he said. So when you do this, then I will in turn arise and I will bless them. Give the Lord thanks for this. Say, Father, thank you. Lord, thank you. Give the Lord thanks for today's word. He said, then I will turn around and I will bless them. Say, I just thank the Lord because of the script for your children. Say, Father, I thank you. Give the Lord thanks because your children are blessed. Just focus on thanking him because your children are blessed. Thank him because their future is secure. Thank him because it is well with them. Thank him because their future is secure. Thank him because it is well with them. Thank him because he has arisen to bless. Thank him because he is arising to bless. Thank him because he will yet arise to bless. Thank him because he has arisen to bless them. Thank the Lord. Give the Lord thanks. In Jesus' name we have prayed. Please, just one last prayer point before we go. Please, say the Lord there. This country, nobody, say, we are asking of you that nobody will succeed in scattering it. See, they have closed all the filling stations now. I don't want to say they are praying to support Dangote or, I have my own personal opinion, alright? But I'm restraining my personal opinion. But you just pray one prayer, just for 1 minute, we're together. Say, Lord, righteousness will prevail.
Amen.
Yes. Peace will return. That if anybody is doing this, only for personal gain, for power, let the person not succeed. But Lord, let righteousness prevail. Let this nation be blessed. Now command the filling stations to open. Command them to open. Cause fuel to begin to flow. Say this disruption in the economy will not stand. Say Lord, let the economy not be disrupted. Say we refuse it, we refuse it. I'm not going to bring in my personal opinion like I told you I have it. But just let's restrain to this one we have said. We refuse disruption in the economy. Righteousness will prevail. Father, we ask of you to do this for us. We, your people, ask for this nation. In the name of Jesus, we have prayed. In Jesus' name, we have prayed. So let's share the grace and fellowship. One, two, let's go. Because of the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, surely we have passed out of death and we have passed into life. We have passed out of darkness into the light of Christ. We have passed out from under the curse into the blessing. All things have passed away in our lives. We are now filled with the Spirit of Christ. We live above sin and walk above the devil because we are seated high above with Christ. This is our season of the demonstration of the Spirit and of the power of God. In the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Quickly bless two people beside you too. This is your season of the demonstration of the Spirit and of the power of God. The second person, this is your season of the demonstration of the Spirit and of the power of God in the name. Now one for yourself, this is my season. Of the Spirit and of the power of God in the name of Jesus Christ. All right, share our brethren. God bless you.